I'm Marty Moscowane. Welcome to Radio Times. There's been a lot of news about gay marriage recently in light of the U.S. Supreme Court ruling in June striking down the Federal Defense of Marriage Act, or DOMA. Pennsylvania passed its DOMA law in 1996, making gay marriage illegal. The Montgomery County Register of Wills, D. Bruce Haynes, decided last month to defy that Pennsylvania law and began issuing marriage licenses to gay and lesbian couples. He's being sued by the Department of Health, accused of creating, quote, administrative and legal chaos. It's our topic for today's Radio Times. We want to know what you think about what Haynes is doing. Give us a call at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. We have three guests, and we begin our conversation with Bruce Haynes, and nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Good morning, Marty.
How many marriage licenses have you issued for same-sex couples?
I don't know the exact number, but it would be in excess of 80.
And this started a couple of weeks ago.
I believe my office issued the first one on July the 24th.
And this was your idea?
No, it wasn't my idea. About 3 weeks ago, two women, through their attorney, contacted my office and requested, for information purposes, wanted to find out how to get a marriage license for two women. And I didn't take the call. Ultimately, I think my first deputy did, and referred the attorney to my solicitor, Mike Clark. Mike and I batted it about. I mean, this is the first time we had been asked. Mike did some research. We contacted the county solicitor, Ray McGarry, had several conferences on this, went through it for several days, and I was confronted with a situation where I could grant the licenses, and I would be complying with the Pennsylvania Constitution. That's the opinion of Michael Clark and Ray McGarry. It may look like that I am in opposition to the state definition of marriage, but under Windsor, as you mentioned, the U.S. Supreme Court case, and the Pennsylvania Constitution, we figure maybe at least three articles in the Pennsylvania Constitution show that the Marriage Act in Pennsylvania, that law is unconstitutional. So,
let me just stop you there. You're saying it's unconstitutional because of what the Supreme Court ruled in June?
That was a consideration that was an element to the discussion. Another element to the discussion was the Attorney General's decision not to defend the Whitewood case, which is filed in the Middle District, which is the ACLU case against Pennsylvania DOMA. Attorney General Kane referred to the act as wholly unconstitutional. Now, was that the determinative decision? No. Several of these things went into the mix, and I believe my solicitor and the county solicitor concluded, based upon a series of these things, at Windsor, Attorney General Kane, and the Pennsylvania Constitution, that as part of my quasi-judicial function, I can determine that I can issue a marriage license to two members of the same sex.
Well, let me just pick up on that, and some of the pushback, which I'm sure you're aware of, is that it's up to the legislature to make laws, not up to people like you to make the law.
I understand. I fully understand that. But when a law is in opposition to the Constitution, it appears to me that the Constitution has to be followed.
And when you talk about, is it about equality in the Constitution? Is that what you're referring to for us people who are not lawyers?
Yeah, that's what it is, equal protection. The term marriage equality has come out of this, but it's really an equal protection, and it refers to marriage equality. But the Pennsylvania articles that I'm talking about, Article 1, Section 26 and 28, refer to civil rights in 26, and refers to no discrimination on the basis of sex in Section 28. Those are in my opinion, prohibitions against making determinations based upon sex, which would violate a civil right.
So are you saying then these licenses that you gave, from your perspective, are legal?
Marty, I really cannot comment on that because I don't know. I mean, that is not my area. I issue those marriage licenses. I don't marry people. That is a decision that has to be made by someone else. I'm not making that decision.
Now, as you know, the Department of Health in Pennsylvania has said that you are creating administrative and legal chaos, that you are risking serious and limitless harm to the public by issuing these licenses. What do you say in response?
Marty, with all respect, I really would not like to discuss the case at all. As you pointed out, I am a defendant in this case, and I really would prefer not to discuss the case.
Let me ask you, though. I mean, do you have a particular position, you personally, on same-sex marriage?
What I've done is the result of my reading, my solicitor's reading, the county solicitor's reading, and several, and now that we've been doing this, several law professors have also chimed in on my favor, is the result of that, in our interpretation of the Pennsylvania Constitution. My personal view at this particular juncture is not really relevant, I don't believe.
But do you hope that by doing what you did, you are either putting pressure on the court system or pressure on the legislature or even the governor to, if not rethink this particular law, perhaps change this law?
As the Register wills for Montgomery County, I believe it's important that I apply the laws, apply the procedure in my office pursuant to the Pennsylvania Constitution. What springs out of that was not and is not my domain. It's not part of my thought process.
You are, though, quoted of saying that you want to be on the right side of history. Do I have you right? Do I have you right on that?
That's right. That was in the press release of, I think, the 23rd.
And what do you mean? Yeah, I'm curious about what you mean by that.
Well, I mean, I think that comment pretty much speaks for itself. Equal protection is an issue which historically has been met with difficulties. Mm. I think ultimately equal protection will prevail. Historically, I believe it will prevail. I think it's part of the arc of history that people will be treated equally, regardless of anything they cannot change. And if that is the case, I believe I'm going to be on the right side of that arc of change of history.
But do you see what you're doing as a protest or even as an act of, if not civil, legal disobedience?
No, not at all. Of all things, I'm not a crusader. I don't want to be perceived of as a crusader. Several days ago, there was a rally in my favor.
Right.
And I really, really, truly support. I mean, I appreciate that support. But that gets the eye off the ball, I think. I'm not the issue. The issue is equal rights, equal protection, and as articulated in the Pennsylvania Constitution, and as an elected official in Montgomery County, I have an obligation to make sure it is adhered to.
Are you, though, surprised at the amount of press and attention that you've gotten in the last couple of weeks?
No, Marty, I'm not surprised one way or the other. I knew that, you know, this was going to be an issue.
And you said about 80 marriage licenses that you have issued so far?
It may be more than that. Could be close to 90. I don't know.
You don't keep track of that?
I personally don't, but my first deputy does. And the I believe Frank Custer, who's the communications officer for the county, does.
And when you issue a license, is it just a matter of signing a document and handing it over to the couple, or do you is there a ceremony of some sort when the Register of Wills does his job?
No. And I'm glad you brought that up. I don't marry people, and there is no ceremony. I simply issue a license. The license is in two parts, and the couple, they take both parts with them. And it's when they become married, they have a 60-day period within which to get married with that license. Part of that license is removed by the official, signed and dated, and I think there's even a place where the marriage was performed. That's filled in and forwarded to my office. It's received by the second deputy, who checks it for technical accuracy, and puts it into the database. So remember, I issue a marriage license, and only a percentage of them have come back or will be coming back.
You had mentioned Kathleen Kane, the Attorney General of Pennsylvania, who has said that she will not defend Pennsylvania's DOMA law. You mentioned this earlier, but I just want to know how important that was to you in some of your thinking about what you have done.
It certainly is important. Can't quantify it, of course, but it was important.
And the Supreme Court ruling back in June, did that play a part as well?
That's part of the mix, as I mentioned earlier. It was one of the factors in the decision-making process.
And at this point, is there anything? I know that the state court is going to pick this up and make some kind of determination later on this month. I'm curious about, I don't know if we're getting ahead of ourselves here, but what would stop you? I mean, how can you be stopped, if I can ask it like that?
I can be enjoined.
Enjoined. And what does that mean for our listeners?
Well, it would mean a court of competent jurisdiction would issue an order prohibiting me from issuing licenses. But, I think we're getting dangerously close to the case, right, in the Commonwealth Court, and I'd rather not speculate on anything like that.
But for our listeners, just to understand how this works, and my understanding is that the county said that the health department didn't have legal standing, and then the state said that the health department does have legal standing because of the attorney general's stance on Pennsylvania's DOMA, and that I guess it's the Commonwealth Court. That's where this decision will be made. Do I have that right?
It's in the Commonwealth Court, but more than that, I'd rather not say. Mm-hmm. And the entire docket is online, by the way, and several of the documents are also online if you simply go online for the Commonwealth Court.
Well, let's take a very short break, and I do want to get some callers in on our conversation. That's Bruce Haynes, our guest today on Radio Times. He's the Montgomery County Register of Wills and has, over the last couple of weeks, been issuing marriage licenses to gay and lesbian couples here in the state of Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania has a DOMA law passed in 1996, making gay marriage illegal. We want to hear from you what you think about what Bruce Haynes is doing. Give us a call at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Rider University proudly supports WHYY. Rider invites listeners to learn about how its executive MBA program can help professionals leverage their business experience into greater leadership roles in their organizations. There is an executive MBA information session on Saturday, August 10th in Princeton, New Jersey. Registration is online at rider.edu or by phone at 609-896-5036. Rider University, preparing tomorrow's business leaders.
The WHYY Connections Festival is back with a day of free live music featuring They Might Be Giants, Ben Queller, and more. Saturday, September 7th at the Great Plaza at Penn's Landing. The WHYY Connections Festival is free for everyone, and WHYY members and sustainers get exclusive access to the Member Oasis tent all day long. They Might Be Giants and more Saturday, September 7th at the Great Plaza. For a full lineup and to register, visit whyy.org/connectionsfestival.
Hi, I'm Greg Kot.
And I'm Jim DeRogatis.
Greg and I are music critics and the hosts of Sound Opinions, the world's only rock and roll talk show. And we go back and forth about which new records are worth buying, worth burning, or deserve the trash.
It is a pummeling album, and it is a buy-it record.
Just a big, boring record. Trash. This is such a bad record.
Wow, you're having a bad week, huh?
No, I
How could you not enjoy this record?
Monday nights at 10 on WHYY.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Mosco, and back in 1996, Pennsylvania passed a law declaring that only heterosexual marriages were recognized by the state. DeBruce Haynes, as we have been hearing, Montgomery County Register of Wills, has been defying that law by issuing licenses to same-sex couples over the last few weeks. This legal showdown is being taken up by state court later this month, and we have been talking with him, and we want to hear from you at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. Let me see if I can get Pennsylvania State Representative Madeline Dean to join us on Radio Times.
Good morning, Marty. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
And tell us why you're calling.
I'm calling because it's an issue that I think is very important, and I agree with Bruce Haynes' decision. And I really appreciate what he said to you today, which is that it is not personal. It's not about right. Bruce Haynes. It's about the larger issue of equality and fairness. As a state legislator, I represent an area of Montgomery County, Abington, and Upper Dublin, and I'm co-sponsor of legislation that would do the same thing at the state level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a legislator, it's my goal to make our laws better and to repeal laws that are unjust. So I'm looking forward to the discussion at the state level, but in the meantime, I'm very happy that Montgomery County is leading the way.
And do you think that he is pushing you and other legislators to take a look at this law?
I think certainly it pushes the conversation. This is in the news. We are the first of 67 counties to go this way. So I think it's a very positive dialogue for Pennsylvania.
And do you think the state is moving in this direction from your reading of public opinion?
Well, Pennsylvania is an interesting state.
It's an interesting state.
And our legislature is, I think, a very interesting, diverse mix of people.
Right.
I think that we see that this issue is moving very swiftly. And as we begin to become more enlightened or understand really the truth that is the discrimination of our current law, the Pennsylvania law was signed into law in 1996, as was the federal law. Times have changed, and we have seen opinions on this move very rapidly recently. So I am optimistic that Pennsylvania and the legislature will have this discussion, and I hope sooner rather than later repeal our law and just make that marriage is a civil contract between two people who want to enter into matrimony.
And it's interesting when you look at Pennsylvania and look at some of the neighboring states, even in the Northeast, I believe we're the only state that either doesn't have same-sex marriage or doesn't recognize civil unions for gay and lesbian couples.
Well, Pennsylvania sometimes lags behind, I think, in what Bruce was talking about maybe as the arc of history. And I understand that, and I was in the supermarket literally yesterday, and a constituent came up to me and said, oh, I think this is renegade, this is radical.
Mm-hmm.
It's extreme what Montgomery County is doing. And so, unfortunately, I think sometimes Pennsylvania feels that that slowness of movement in terms of what is correct, legally correct, civilly correct. But I'm as I said, mm-hmm. I'm really encouraged that actually that I don't consider this renegade or radical or extreme. I consider this the right move, the legally right move, and I think Pennsylvania will recognize that soon.
I'm curious, since we have you on the phone here, I'm curious about how much you think the Supreme Court ruling in June, rejecting DOMA after all these years, how much you think that has influenced your thinking or even some of the thinking of people in the legislature?
I think that's a great question, and I think that opinion was pivotal. Very important for an awful lot of people, myself included. In the legislature, we wanted to recognize and just say that opinion was really about people's human rights and people's civil rights. And so I think actually that lead from the federal level, from the Supreme Court level, is absolutely an engine for change in society.
And also, the Pennsylvania Attorney General, Kathleen Kane, her decision not to defend DOMA. How important do you think that is in thinking about and discussing this issue?
I think that's a very strong statement, that DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act, which I think is really a strange title. I called it a misnomer because...
Misnomer?
Misnomer, because I don't think that marriage needs defense. I don't think that marriage needs exclusion. In fact, I think that marriage needs societal support because it is a recognition of the importance of people making commitments to each other. It only enhances our society when two people do that. So I think Kathleen Kane's decision speaks volumes about where this issue is going.
Now, you're from Montgomery County, and we've been talking to Bruce Haynes from Montgomery County as well. Do you think the county is unusual in whatever the position is on this issue?
Well, certainly we are, because we're the first of 67, so I hold that up as a good thing. It's not a bad thing to be first when you're doing something that is correct.
Right.
So Montgomery County is a leader in this, and I give Bruce a lot of credit for that.
But interestingly, I mean, it's his reading of the law that he doesn't see it as a protest. I mean, he says from his reading of the law, he believes that he is justified in issuing these licenses.
Yes, and he gave at least sort of three different prongs of why he made that analysis. And I think the Supreme Court decision is one. Also, just our basic constitutional right to pursue happiness, equal protection. So I agree it's not protest. It's actually as a result of greater enlightenment, and the Windsor decision offers us that we have to change institutions, that we must change laws. We can't institutionalize discrimination any longer, and I think that's what Bruce recognized.
And is that how you see it as discrimination? And I wonder whether you have evolved on this as well.
I think I have. I would absolutely admit to that. I don't think if you and I were having this conversation 6 years ago,
really?
I would have been speaking in the same way.
And what has changed your mind?
I think I've become a little more enlightened to what is the truth and to what is the truth of discrimination. It is absolutely, I think, a human right to be able to pursue a commitment that is recognized at the local level, at the state level, at the federal level. There is no basis for the discrimination, and I don't know that I fully understood that years back.
Well, Madeline Dean, thanks so much for calling into Radio Times.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And she's a Pennsylvania State Representative. We began our conversation talking with D. Bruce Haynes, the Montgomery County Register of Wills here in the state of Pennsylvania, talking about the fact that he has been issuing marriage licenses to same-sex couples in the last couple of weeks. And joining us now to talk about his reaction to all of this is Bruce Castor. He's a county commissioner in Montgomery County and a Republican. And Bruce Castor, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Well, thank you for having me.
So what is your response to what Bruce Haynes has been doing?
Well, he's overstepped his authority because an executive official in Pennsylvania can't be permitted to determine what laws to enforce and which ones not to. I mean, the entire system of government would collapse if we had that authority. I'm an executive official, too. Before I became county commissioner, I was district attorney for quite a long time. And if I woke up one morning and decided that life imprisonment and the death penalty violated the Eighth Amendment as cruel and unusual punishment, and as a result thereof, I was no longer going to arrest people for murder, I'd be run out of town on a rail. We have procedures in Pennsylvania to challenge the constitutionality of acts of the legislature, and those procedures should be followed. And what Mr. Haynes should have done, and the advice I gave him before he went down this road, was he should have invited people to sue him after he denied their request for a marriage license, rather than doing the opposite. Because at some point, and I caught the tail end of your interview with Representative Dean,
yes.
At some point, you know, the people who are supportive of Mr. Haynes' action are going to be faced with a situation where an executive official is going to make a decision on a matter of importance to them that they don't like. So you can't create the precedent where those of us who are charged with carrying out the laws can substitute our judgment for the judgment of the legislature and the governor. Because remember the enormity of what's being done here. The legislature are the direct representatives of the people of Pennsylvania, geographically dispersed. They went through committee, they went through a vote, they went through conference committee, went through both the House and the Senate, and the governor concurred, and it became a law. And it's been the law for, 13, 14 years, something like that, or longer. And one man has decided that he believes that a Supreme Court, U.S. Supreme Court decision on another set of facts from another state overrides the will of the people, and he's made that decision on his own. Well, it should have been turned on its head. He should have said, no, I can't do that. I agree with you people who are applying, but I can't do that. I'm refusing. Take me to court and prove me wrong. That's what should have been done.
Well, and I'm not a lawyer, and I'm only quoting what Bruce Haynes said to me, which was based on his reading of the Constitution, and he turned to some solicitors as well to get their reading of the Constitution. He believes he's on some firmer legal ground than you believe he is.
Listen, I'll go on record now. There's absolutely no chance at all that he prevails. Okay, no chance at all. I've been practicing law for almost 30 years. This issue came up when I was the district attorney, and it violates a criminal statute as well. And when I told the solicitor that I was going to start arresting people if they were going to do this, it all of a sudden stopped. So the job of an executive officer, whether it be myself, the district attorney, the attorney general, or the register of wills, is not to determine the constitutionality of laws. It is to carry out what the laws are. The court, since Marbury versus Madison in the early 1800s, is the prerogative of the court to determine whether a law is constitutional or not. Not in the individual executive officer. So I think that those who are advancing this are doing it strictly for political reasons, to throw a hot potato in the lap of the governor right before re-election.
Well, I want to pick up on that, but let me pick up on the word arrest. I mean, do you think this is an offense worth arresting? I mean, should people be arrested for getting marriage licenses?
That wasn't what I was referring to. The statute says that it is a misdemeanor to breach an official duty. So if Mr. Haynes himself is breaching an official duty every time he issues a marriage license, in my judgment, when he knows that the law does not permit that. Then there's another issue, whether the people who are receiving the license, they take an oath that there's no reason that they know of why they should not be permitted to be married. Well, that's a stickier area, because they actually do have a statute that says that they're not permitted to be married. So that's potentially an oath, a problem like unsworn falsifications or perjury. Then, of course, there's I think the licenses are what they call void ab initio. In other words, they are no good right from the beginning, like a $3 bill. They're just no good. So therefore, anybody who marries them on that and says that and accepts money on that license may be committing a fraud by telling these people that they're married when in fact they cannot be, and then seeking whatever benefits go along with being married that aren't otherwise available to unmarried people might also be a fraud. Joint tax returns, claiming as dependents at work for health benefits, things like that. All of these things are potential criminal issues. Now, the district attorney has discretion on what cases are worth prosecuting, which ones are not.
Right.
And the district attorney has already said that she is not going to. Now, of course, she could change her mind at any moment. But there is a statute which specifically says that it is a misdemeanor for a public official to breach an official duty.
Some see this, and I'm not speaking here for Bruce Haynes, but some see this as a form of civil disobedience. The way, for instance, Rosa Parks sat in the front of the bus. Do you have any sympathy for that point of view?
Not for a public official, no, because when you run for office and you get elected and you take the oath of office, you're swearing to carry out the duties of the office with fidelity. And the duties of the office of any executive official is to carry out the laws that are in existence until the legislature or a court says otherwise. So if Mr. Haynes wants to resign and walk around the courthouse with a sign saying that I'm for same-sex marriage, that's fine. But while he holds the position of trust under the Constitution of Pennsylvania that he does, he's obligated to carry out its laws.
You had mentioned Governor Corbett, and do you see this as, from your perspective, as a political act of in a sense, throwing this issue into the upcoming gubernatorial race?
I think there's no question about it. I don't believe that any legal thinker could possibly believe that an executive officer has the power to do what Mr. Haynes has done. In fact, when a similar issue arose in California and the mayor of San Francisco was marrying people while the matter was in the courts, the California Supreme Court, even though they ultimately sided with the same-sex marriage folks, the California Supreme Court invalidated all of those marriages performed by the mayor of San Francisco because at the time he was doing it, that's not what the law was. Now, if that side can't win in California, they're never going to win in Pennsylvania. So I think that Mr. Haynes is on very, very shaky ground.
How about the Attorney General, Kathleen Kane, who won't defend the Defense of Marriage Act in Pennsylvania? Is she on shaky ground, too?
It's a little bit different there because there is her authority comes from a statute, too, called the Commonwealth Attorneys Act. And the Commonwealth Attorneys Act does give her the discretion under some circumstances to allow another agency to stand in her shoes. So that's less of a clear question. But for what Mr. Haynes is doing, since I don't believe there's any chance at all that what he is doing could possibly be found to be proper, even if the proponents of same-sex marriage were to ultimately prevail, I believe that all of the licenses that were issued heretofore, while the law says that they can't be, all of them will be invalid. So I think that other lawyers who look at it like I do should have given him that advice, and I think that that the only reason to continue down this path is because he knows that Mr. Haynes knows that the Attorney General is not going to take action because she announced as much. He knows that the District Attorney, for reasons that are unclear to me, announced that she is not going to act. So therefore, there's no chance of getting arrested because those are the only two entities that can arrest you. So therefore, there's no danger unless he's impeached, which the legislature may or may not decide to do. There's no danger to him. So even though there's no legal basis for what he's doing, in my view, because there's no danger to him, he's continuing it to gain political advantage because he knows that the governor will be forced to defend on the issue at a time when it's a hot-button topic and the governor is up for re-election.
Well, on that note, Bruce Caster, thanks for joining us today on Radio Times.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Montgomery County Commissioner, what's turned out to be the third of four guests in this hour of Radio Times, Chris Borick, waiting in the wings from Muhlenberg. We're talking about Bruce Haynes, the Montgomery County Register of Wills, defying Pennsylvania law, issuing marriage licenses to same-sex couples. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The Philadelphia Folk Festival proudly supports WHYY. This year's festival presents the Richard Thompson Electric Trio, Todd Rundgren, the David Bromberg Quintet, the Mavericks, Asleep at the Wheel, the Carolina Chocolate Drops, and many more. For a weekend of concerts, crafts, kids' activities, and camping, the Philadelphia Folk Festival, August 15th through 18th on the Old Pool Farm in Upper Salford. For tickets and festival information, 800-556-FOLK or folkfest.org.
Gina lost her little girl.
Your daughter, Katie, is dead.
Or did she?
I saw her.
Is it really her daughter?
Fred Melamed is a successful voiceover artist and an actor. He plays a successful voiceover artist in the new film, In a World. On the next Fresh Air, we talk with Melamed and the film's writer, director, and star, Lake Bell. Join us.
This afternoon at 3 and again tonight at 7 on WHYY.
Question. Where does surveillance data go to die?
This is really a question about integrity in the court system.
Answer, maybe it never does. How intelligence gathered by the Drug Enforcement Administration can snare suspects for years after it was collected. No court or judge ever has to know the evidence. Next time on The Takeaway from PRI, Public Radio International.
Today at noon on WHYY.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscoe. Just a recap. Back in 1996, Pennsylvania passed a law declaring that only heterosexual marriages were recognized by the state. The state also did not recognize same-sex marriages that were legal in other states. And it looks like Pennsylvania law also prohibits civil unions for gay and lesbian couples. D. Bruce Haynes, the Montgomery County Register of Wills, has been defying that law by issuing licenses to same-sex couples in the last few weeks. This legal showdown is going to be taken up by state court later this month. We talked with D. Bruce Haynes, also just said goodbye to Republican Montgomery County Commissioner Bruce Castor. And joining us now is Chris Borick, and he is a professor of political science at Muhlenberg College, director of the Muhlenberg College Institute of Public Opinion. And Chris Borick, nice to have you back with us on Radio Times.
Hey, Marty. Great to be back.
And let me give out that phone number to our listeners again, because we're really curious about what you make of what looks like a bit of a legal and perhaps even political showdown on this issue. Give us a call at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. Well, Chris Borick, since we have you on the telephone, what's your response or reaction to this political showdown?
Well, you categorized it exactly right. It is a political showdown, and this issue has always been one that has enormous political ramifications, and it seems to be coming up to a boiling point with the Attorney General's decisions, and now the decisions in Monroe County, really propelling it back into the forefront of public opinion in the state. And when you look at public opinion, Marty, it's clear we've seen an amazing evolution of Pennsylvania attitudes towards same-sex marriage over the last 9 years. We started tracking this issue back in 2004, and we've seen an absolute flip of where the public stands on same-sex marriage. You know, 54% of Pennsylvanians back in 2004 were opposed to it. Today, 53% support same-sex marriage. So in a relatively short period of time, we've seen incredible movement in where Pennsylvanians are on the issue, and we're seeing as that shift has occurred, it coming back very aggressively into the political sphere, as we've seen both in legal challenges and a number of political aspects.
And are you seeing it among younger voters? Are you seeing it across the voting spectrum?
This is an amazing picture if you look at where support and opposition is for it, and it's so demographically driven. Among the youngest members of the Commonwealth and youngest Americans in general, there's overwhelming support. 3-1 for allowing same-sex marriage. If we go to the other end, senior citizens in the state and throughout the country, there's still very strong opposition. And so it's as you go over time through each generation, you'll see decreasing support. And that has a political aspect to it. I think everyone recognizes that young individuals, both in Pennsylvania and around the country, are the least likely to vote, especially in elections like off-year elections and midterm elections, the one coming up. So the idea that most Pennsylvanians support same-sex marriage doesn't easily translate into the electoral calculus, because the demographics of voters is much different, much older, and therefore less likely to support gay marriage.
Well, Chris, I know you and I have talked about the suburbs that ring Philadelphia. Everyone always pays so much attention to those suburbs when it comes to an election. They tend to be sort of moderate, even sometimes trending Republican, but also have some liberal ideas. And I wonder if you look at suburban Philadelphia, what do you see? And then we'll get some callers into the conversation.
Yeah, it's a great point, Marty, and we always seem to come back to the suburban Philadelphia regions in terms of Pennsylvania politics. And on this issue, it's once again at the forefront, and no surprise that we're seeing this issue evolve in Montgomery County. It's a very divided region in terms of partisan affiliation, with about equal amounts of Democrats and Republicans, largely, although it's trended more Democrat in recent years. It's the interesting position for Republican legislators in this region, because you'll see among the Republican constituency, which, by the way, if you look at the state as a whole, remains very much opposed to same-sex marriage by almost a 3-to-1 margin. However, among Republicans in an area like suburban Philadelphia, it's much more divided. So those legislators, if this issue does ever get to the point where the General Assembly is taking it up in Harrisburg, those Republican legislators in places like Montgomery or Bucks County or Delaware, Chester County, are going to be the ones that are really pivotal in any chance that same-sex marriage would move forward from a legislative perspective in the state.
And that's Chris Borick, our fourth of four guests in this hour of Radio Times. He's a professor of political science at Muhlenberg College, director of the Muhlenberg College Institute of Public Opinion. Let's find out about public opinion on Radio Times. We have Ted from Montgomery County joining us on Radio Times. Ted, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was listening to Commissioner Acaster's comments, and I was really stunned by one of his proposals, which was that this process should have gone through the legislature and should have gone through the people's elected representatives. And I found it interesting that he, a Republican, would say that when, in fact, that is the process that was followed in New Jersey, and a Republican governor and executive, if you will, contravene the will of the people through their elected representatives by vetoing their marriage bill. I just found that interesting, and I was wondering, and I know he's not on the air anymore, but I just found that rather interesting.
Well, Chris, do you find that interesting as well? And it is always interesting to compare New Jersey and Pennsylvania.
No, it is fun. It's a great comparison. I think we love to make it. And the New Jersey situation was exactly as this the caller described. It went through the legislature and passed, and Governor Christie opted to veto. It would be an interesting situation in Pennsylvania. Of course, New Jersey has Democratic-controlled legislature in comparison to Pennsylvania's Republican-controlled legislature. So the likelihood of seeing that type of breakdown occurring here is far less likely. But it would be extremely interesting if it did. And I doubt very much this issue is going to proceed in any quick fashion over the next few years to get to that place where we'd have a chance for a governor to sign legislation. But if we did, it would put the governor, in this case Governor Corbett, once again on the hot seat in terms of delving directly into an issue that by all measures is extremely polarizing in the state. And so I don't know if we'll see the same scenario as New Jersey anytime soon, but it's clearly one that the governor is dealing with in different ways here.
Well, it's interesting because we know Governor Corbett opposes same-sex marriage, but he doesn't seem to want to make it much of an issue.
No, I think that's right, Marty. I don't think the governor has embraced taking on this issue when by all accounts he has many other more direct issues to deal with in terms of his standing with the public approaching an election year. What is interesting for him, and this is, I guess, if you look for silver linings from the governor's perspective, is his standing among Republicans in the state is lukewarm at best, and that's his base, and he has to have some ways of making his base energized heading into 2014. Given where polling places this issue of same-sex marriage among Republicans, his defense, that even though it's been cast upon him, might be a place where he has a chance to demonstrate his conservative credentials, at least in social issues, and have some kind of positive effect, again, only among his base, which at his point and where he stands right now is probably job number one, make sure he secures that group.
That's interesting. Let me see what John from Southampton has to say. John, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hello, Marty.
Hi there.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
The question I had was about this argument I've heard from time to time about, the executive has to enforce the laws passed by the legislature, the will of the people. And on the federal level, we have these presidential signing statements where the president can say he basically is going to ignore this law or this part of a law because he doesn't agree with it. Does this principle not also apply at the state level?
Well, let's find out. Chris Bork, do you know the answer to that question?
You know, the relationship that the caller describes and with presidential signing statements doesn't have an exact corresponding alternative at the state level in Pennsylvania. So what we often see and what we're describing is our actions of discretion on the part of executive branch officers or individuals that are carrying out laws with the very discretion that's put forth to them. You look at any officer all the way down, or any public official, all the way down to police officers giving out tickets on a highway, and there's of course a degree of discretion in how you might implement the policies that you're looking at. These more direct affronts that you see in this case in Montgomery County and in large part on the part of the Attorney General Kathleen Kane really are in a gray area, if you will, in terms of their legality and their standing. I think the case in Montgomery County probably is more direct and more. And I probably agree with Bruce Castor that if it comes up to a legal decision, would be likely to not be upheld the actions. But again, there's nothing I would say directly akin in Pennsylvania that is similar to what happens at the federal level.
But broadly speaking, legislatures make laws and executives carry them out.
Well, they carry them out with a lot of discretion.
With a lot of discretion. John, thanks for the call. Let me see what Shane from Plymouth Meeting has to say. Shane, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, Marty. I wanted to call in and let you know that I'm actually moving to Maryland next week. My partner and I have been together for over 3.5 years, and we're not planning planning on getting married for a while now. But one of the biggest draws to Maryland for us was that we have the option, and we're also protected from being fired for being gay. We're protected from being kicked out of housing for being gay. And really being able to escape Pennsylvania's really archaic laws regarding LGBT people and same-sex couples.
And Shane, are you doing that because of what Maryland has done recently and what Pennsylvania hasn't done so far?
Well, if you ever go on the Guardian's website, they have an infographic that actually shows same-sex rights state by state, and Pennsylvania is on par with Mississippi, Utah, Michigan. It has a very poor record, and it shows on the infographic. Maryland has incredible protections for same-sex relationships for LGBT citizens of the state, and it really was a draw to the state. I have always considered Pennsylvania my home. I'm born and raised, educated in Pennsylvania, a member of the Pennsylvania National Guard, but Maryland just seems like a more welcoming place.
Well, Shane, good luck to you, and I appreciate the call to Radio Times. And Chris, I mean, not everyone can do that, but there could be, economic consequences for Pennsylvania's standing on this particular issue.
No, I think you're right, and I think Shane's appraisal is fair in almost any account. Pennsylvania's laws regarding protection of same-sex couples simply are at the low end of the list of states, and probably exactly, as he said, more in line with a lot of southern states than our nearby neighbors in the Northeast. And from a perspective of economic impact, eventually, if you are making a state less conducive to groups to live in, it's going to have an impact. And by the way, I think just really quickly, that's probably where we're going to see the first movement in terms of Pennsylvania politics. I think the trend on where the public stands is headed in one direction on this, and as the legislative bodies catch up, if you will, it's going to be in maybe before we ever get to the primary question of same-sex marriage, extending some more protections to same-sex couples, like Shane was discussing. And I think that's going to be the first movers, if you will, when the legislature does really in turn start to address the topic.
Let me get Karen on from Mount Airy. Karen, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi. Hi there. I was when I first heard about Bruce Henderson and the marriage license, I actually called his office and left like a teary message of support and thanks because I am hugely in support of same-sex marriage and the fact that we don't have it in Pennsylvania is horrifying. But as I'm sort of starting to think about it, I find myself almost agreeing with something that Commissioner Tanner said, which is that if someone can just sort of say, if a public official can just say, you know, I don't think that this is legal and I'm not going to enforce it or I'm going to do something different, that if that will undermine the process because it started out, because it started there, as opposed to like the commissioner said about people suing and it going through the courts like that.
Well, Karen,
because there were the people in California, the commissioners, after Prop 8 was struck down, who said, well, we're not going to issue licenses because our reading of the law is that it's illegal.
And Karen, I got to jump in here only because your phone is beginning to break up on us. Chris, we're about 45 seconds before the end of our show. Anything you want to say back to Karen or final thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think Karen is on to something that you probably catch in the public opinion. Well, individuals might have very direct and passionate feelings about the issue itself of same-sex marriage. There is, even among those that might support it, some uncomfortable feelings regarding the process that's being put into place in Montgomery County, simply because it is, and I think Bruce Castor talked a little bit about this, the picking and choosing aspect of executive officers is for many discomforting. The idea that when do they get to choose? Again, the law is the highest rule, and if we're letting individuals have the discretion to pick and choose, it does raise some generally tough questions.
On that note, Chris Bork, thank you for joining us today on Radio Times.
Thanks, Marty.
You're welcome. Professor of Political Science at Muhlenberg College, Director of the Muhlenberg College Institute of Public Opinion. Go to whyy.org/Radio Times to find out much more about this program. I'm Marty Moscow. Thank you for joining us in this first hour of Radio Times, and do stay with us. We'll be right back with Hour 2.